Bibles in Hebrews chapter number 4. Make that chapter 4. I want to read a few verses right here. And probably go to several different places and wind up back in the book of Genesis. But I want you to notice something, what the Bible says to you and I right here. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Notice this now. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I don't know, I couldn't tell you the number of times that a great need arose in my heart and in my life, and I was able to go to that throne of grace that God has provided for me and for every child of God. Hey, if you've been born again, you've got a special privilege in your life to go to God in prayer. Amen. What a privilege it is to pray to a God that can do all things, that knows all things. Nothing is impossible with our God. And He has provided this through His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He died on Calvary. And He is our high priest tonight. And He sits by... Hey, He sits beside the Father tonight making intercession for you and for me. Isn't that amazing tonight? Oftentimes when we fail to pray, He's a praying for us. Ain't that a blessing to know that we've got a God that loves us that much tonight? Amen. What a privilege, what an honor it is to be a child of the King tonight. And know that our Lord, hey, He's seated by the Father and He's looking our way. And it's His pleasure tonight to hear from us. Amen? It's His pleasure, I believe, tonight, hey, for us to communicate with Him through prayer. I believe it's His pleasure tonight, pleasure to help the helpless tonight and to give hope to the hopeless tonight. Amen? And He's the one that can do that when we find ourselves going through storms, as Sister Amy was singing about. I'm glad tonight we can pray. Amen? Listen, nobody can take that away from us. Amen? Nobody can take that privilege away from us. They can stop the kids from praying in public in school, but they can't stop them from praying in silent in their heart, can they? Amen. So tonight I want to look at some thoughts tonight about prayer. You know, there are many great Bible characters that prayed. And we've got this recorded in the Word of God as examples and illustrations for you and I to look at. As we go through life and we study the Word of God. I look back at Genesis chapter number 4. You'll see the ungodly line of Cain and you'll see the godly line of Seth there. And that godly line of Seth began to call upon the Lord, the Bible says. And down through the ages, godly men and godly women has called upon a God, hey, that's got ears to hear. Hey, He's got eyes to see. He's got a mind to know what we need before we even ask. And hey, listen, I'm glad that we can call upon God and we can get an answer from Him. Amen? Amen. And can I say this tonight? Listen, when we go to God in prayer, let me just tell you something. God don't need our counsel. Amen? He don't need us to counsel Him and tell Him what to do. Amen. When we go to God in prayer, we ought to go with adoration. We ought to go and worship Him and thank Him for all He does for us. Well, listen, we ought to intercede for those around us that have great needs and for our family and even for ourselves. And we ought to always go repenting of our sins and asking His forgiveness to put us a clean heart and a right spirit and restore any fellowship that might be broken. Make our requests known to Him. He invites us to do all these things in the Word of God. And yet I believe in the day and age that we live, in this church age that we live in today, the Laodicean church age that says we have need of nothing, I believe we fail miserably in our prayer life. Amen. Hey, we better get back to praying
in the old-fashioned way. Holy Ghost praying. Hey, agonizing with God over some things that we want to see happen in this old world in which we live today. I think about Abraham as he prayed for Lot. Amen. You think prayer can't make a difference? Listen, Abraham got word that judgment was coming to Sodom. Abraham had a nephew over there that he cared about. And he interceded with God for his nephew, and it made a difference. Amen. God heard his prayer. Moses interceded for Israel when God was about to destroy them. Hannah interceded with God for a son. God gave her a son. Hezekiah was sick to death. And God told old Isaiah, said, go down there and tell old Hezekiah to set his house in order because he is fixing to die and not live. And when he delivered that message to him, the Bible says, that Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and he began to pray and ask God, for help. And listen to me, as old Isaiah was walking down the road towards home, God said, turn around and go back and tell him, I've seen your tears. Hey, I've heard your prayer and I'm adding 15 years to your life. Don't tell me that prayer don't change things. Amen. A God that knowed everything, friend. God said he's going to die and not live. But he prayed. Listen to me. Don't give up on your prayer life. Amen. Oh, listen to me. What an honor and privilege we have to pray. Old Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He prayed, didn't he? Prayer made that old whale go to puking. Amen. Hey, listen to me. Jesus was a man of prayer. Isn't it amazing that the Son of God, he thought it was necessary to pray? Why don't we think it's necessary to pray? If we counted our blessings and mercies, if we could see the things that God has done for us, how He's protected and provided for us, we'd be a thankful people. Jesus prayed all night at times. We can't pray 5 minutes. God help us. God help us. The thief on the cross, he prayed, didn't he? Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Simple prayer. Made a difference in eternity for him. Paul was a man of prayer. Many, many prayers you'll find Paul prayed for his people. Those he was burdened for. We need a burden to pray. Amen. We're the people of God. We're supposed to be prayer warriors. We're supposed to be making a difference in this world in which we live. I believe, no doubt in my mind, that I had family when I was lost and undone. I had family that cared for me enough to call my name in prayer. I believe I had a granddaddy that prayed for me when I was just a little old boy. He was a praying man. Brother David, I believe your granddaddy prayed for you. No telling how many prayers has gone up for lost people, and it makes a difference in the eyes of God. Listen, we can pray Holy Ghost conviction on people, I believe. Amen? We can make a difference in somebody's life. Listen to me tonight. Jeremiah 33:3 says, the Bible says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, what? Which thou knowest not. We don't know a lot. But God can, He can show us some things. And He can give us knowledge. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to have a prayerful heart. As we go about in our daily lives and we see things and people and different circumstances and troubles and things that are coming upon people, we ought to have a constant prayer in our heart. We ought to be able to get a prayer through at the snap of your fingers. Amen? We ought to be able to. Jesus said this, men ought always to pray and to faint not. In other words, pray. If you don't get an answer, Keep a praying. Don't get weary in praying, because the answer is coming. Amen? Just remember to pray, "Thy will be done and not mine." Oftentimes we pray, "Our will be done." It might not be God's will. His mind is so far above ours. And listen, friend, always remember, God knows what's best. God makes no mistakes. And we need to yield our lives to Him. Listen, tonight I want to look back at one great man's prayer in your Bible tonight, back in the book of Genesis. I want you to look in Genesis chapter number 28, and let's talk about Jacob here for just a little bit. And a great prayer that made a big change in Jacob's life right here. You know, Jacob sort of got a bad name, being a trickster and a schemer, and the things he did, and the way he deceived old Esau. But let's look at Jacob's life right here. In Genesis chapter number 28, you'll find right here some words that was spoken to Jacob. Let's read from, say, about verse number 10. The Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Now, God is laying down some promises to Jacob right here. He is a son of Abraham. He is a son of Isaac. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." And notice this in verse 15. He said, "Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done all that which I have spoken to thee of." Now I want you to notice right here that God had a plan for Jacob's life. Can I tell you, God had a plan for my life? God had a plan for your life. And, you know, it'd do us good to yield ourselves under the mighty hand of God and speak what His plan is for our life. Now, too often we get caught up in the things of this world and we don't really seek God and ask Him what He'd have us to do in life, what His will for our life is. I'm talking about spiritual things. Spiritual things. You see, God had a plan for Jacob's life, and He begins to reveal it to him right here through a dream. And it was up to him to yield to what God's plan was for his life or to run from it. You know, we have an option. We can be obedient or we can be disobedient. Amen? And it'd do us good to listen to God and try to realize that we're a child of God. We're bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And God wants to use us as we journey through this life to be a light and to help carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. So God had a plan. Jacob had a purpose in life. God shows him right here in this scripture right here, as his seed will become the dust of the earth, and through him all families of the earth would be blessed. Amen? And that was a direct indication that the Son of God would come from His lineage. Amen? And as time goes on and we study our Bible, we see that Jacob had 12 sons. Each one represented a tribe of Israel. And through the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born
the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Also out of the tribe of Benjamin, Paul would be born, the apostle to the Gentiles. And so God had a plan, and Jacob had a purpose for living. What's your purpose for living tonight? What kind of plan has God got going on in your life? Let me ask you something. Have you ever asked God to use you? I mean, seriously, have you ever realized what a debtor to the grace of God you are? That God gave His Son for you? And God's got you here living on this earth, breathing His air, and give you health and strength and salvation. And don't you feel like you ought to be indebted to Him? Amen. We are. We're debtors to the grace of God. And God wants to take this plan that He has for each individual's life and for us to fulfill that purpose in life. And it's an honor to be a child of God tonight. Now I want you to notice something else. God's plan, Jacob's purpose, but notice God's promise in verse 15. He said, "And behold, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land." Or He said, "I'm going to bring you back here." And Jacob goes on after this dream right here, and he calls that place Bethel. He says, "Surely this is the house of God." And God tells him He's going to journey through life, and "I'm going to bring you back to Bethel one of these days." The house of God. Important place in a Christian's life is the house of God. Amen. These things you'll get at the house of God, you won't get nowhere else, I believe. Amen. We need fellowship. Amen. We need each other. These times, hey, these people right now that's sick, battling cancer, going through different trials, and they need us praying. Amen. They need some prayer warriors to break through to God and get some help for them. Amen. If I was laying up here in a hospital bed, you know what I'd want you to be doing? I'd want you to be in this altar praying for me that God would intervene and give me some help. And we've been bombarded with a lot of sickness and cancer and different things in our church lately. And listen, it's up to us to fulfill God's purpose. Let me tell you something. One of our purposes is in life to pray one for another, to intercede one for another, to help one another. And listen, we can partner with God and we can be a blessing. We'll just get in our altar and start praying for some folks. God promised Him, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be present with you. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to see you through. I'm going to bring you back." Hadn't God made the same promises to you and me? Amen. He told us He'd never leave us and never forsake us, didn't He? There's nowhere that I'll ever go that God won't be with me. Amen. There's nothing I'll ever go through that God won't be with me. He's promised me His presence. Amen. And His protection. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. I'm a child of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have that promise. You do too if you've been born again. God made him a promise. Now I want you to notice something right here. In Genesis 31 right here, in verse 13. God speaking to him again says, "I'm the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me." You ever made a vow to God? You ever made any promises to God? "Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this." Have you ever been praying to God and made a vow to Him? Probably all of us have. Wonder did we keep our end of the deal?
But anyway, he said, "Now arise and get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred." Now, Jacob now, he's headed back to Bethel, to the house of God, to the place where he had the dream of the ladder reaching up to heaven. There's only one problem here. Esau. He's heading over in the land where Esau dwells. And the last meeting, the last thing he had to do with Esau said, "Well, we're grieving our daddy's death right now, but when this thing's over, I'm going to kill you." Now, Jacob is fixing to head back over there. God has said, "I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to protect you." But he's got to step out by faith now and trust God. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's what the Bible teaches us. But how often we want to see things. We want to see how things is going to work out. But the true Christian's life is a walk of faith. We have to learn to trust God. Now, notice this right here in chapter number 32. We'll get into this thing right now before Jacob prays. Jacob now is on his way, and the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw him, he said, "This is God's host," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. You know, God has given his angels charge over us. We don't think about that often. But he says in his word, he has. And as Jacob was heading into this trouble, into this great trial right here, God confirmed to him right here that there was angels about him. And so, he goes on and he finds out now that Esau's got 400 men with him. And they're coming his way. And the last thing that Jacob heard him say was, "I'm going to kill you." Now, to head on out towards Esau and 400 men took some faith, didn't it? Amen? I mean, he had an option. He could be obedient to God's command and go forward and trust God by faith, or he could flee and be out of the will of God. But he decided to go forward. But he had fear. Fear. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we face that it'll bring fear. But God's told us that he's not given us a spirit of fear. And anytime we find fear in our life, that's when we need to go looking for our faith. Faith can overrule fear. Amen? I believe that. And if I let fear get hold of my life, then it shows me that my faith has gotten weak. Shows me that I need to pray more, study more, and trust God more. And we see a great lesson right here in Jacob's problem right here. He had great fear of the future. He's fixing to meet Esau. And so he made that decision to go forward. But before he did, I want you to notice this right here. Not only his problem, but notice Jacob's prayer right here in this chapter right here. Verse number 7 says, "Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him into flocks and herds and camels in two bands. And said, 'If Esau come to me on one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape.'" Notice right here. "And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I'll deal well with thee.'" He's beginning to pray now. And he's beginning right here to call God's attention to the promises that God has made him.
You realize in this Bible right here that we can stand on every promise that God has ever made for you and me? That every promise that God has ever made to a child of God applies to us. And now he was facing possible death when he met Esau. But he's trusting God. He's calling upon God. He said, I'm not worthy. Notice in verse number 10 right here. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. That's a good way to start praying, ain't it? Get humble. Get humble. And acknowledge God, acknowledge His blessings, and acknowledge that you ain't worthy. Amen? Humble. God honors humility. God hates pride. You remember that parable in your Bible about the old Pharisee that and the publican there when they went to pray? That old Pharisee said, I'm glad I ain't like other men. And he began to brag on himself, all that he'd done. That old publican there, he smote his breast, said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And God honored his prayer. And he rejected that old Pharisee. Pride ain't going to get you nowhere in prayer. But if we'll humble ourselves, we may be rich, we may be poor. Anyway, we better humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and give Him all the glory and all the thanksgiving for everything that He does in our life. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which Thou hast showed unto Thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. What was he saying right there? Jacob was saying, when I left out of my father's house, all I had was a staff in my hand. Now I'm coming back over a rich man. Got two bands, herds and flocks and servants, children. I mean, he was a blessed man. And he was giving God all the glory for what he'd done in his life. There was humility. There was thankfulness. He acknowledges God, recognizes God for all His blessings upon him. And notice this. He puts all his trust in God as he reminds himself of what God has promised him. Do us good to study God's Word and realize what God has said to us in carrying us through this life and what all God has promised to do for us. He said now in verse number 11, he said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with my children. And thou saidest, he's reminding God now again of the promises. He said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Now he's trusting God. In that prayer, he puts all his faith and trust in God. But he decides he'd go a little further. Try to send a little gift ahead. Maybe help pacify old Esau. Ain't that just like us? We know what God's promised us, and we pray a prayer of faith, and then we still get up and try to fix it ourselves. Ain't that right? God heard his prayer. Esau was coming with 400 men, but God changed his heart coming down that road somewhere. God humbled Esau, and well, you know how that story goes. I'm getting ahead of myself, I guess. But the Bible says then that as Jacob set up his little scheme there, he was left all alone. All alone. You ever been alone with God? The Bible says he was all alone, but he wasn't alone. God was there. You know, some of the most precious times you'll have in life is when you're all alone. And you realize the presence of God.
Bible says he wrestled with a man all night. It was God. And it's kind of strange that he wouldn't let him go. He said, "Let me go for the day breaks." He said, "I ain't letting you go till you bless me." And God reached in and touched his thigh, knocked his hip out of joint, and he made him sort of a, I don't know, maybe kind of like a crippled man, kind of. And Jacob walked from a limp, walked with a limp from then on. And which gives us a lesson. Sometimes God's got to break us to make us. Amen. This was a great change right here in the life of Jacob. Started with a prayer. Started with seeking God's blessings for spiritual things. I mean, Jacob had a lot of material things, but as he wrestled with God, he wanted spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Oh, that we had a desire like that in our life. To be a great spiritual instrument, vessel in God's hands. He wrestled with him, and he called upon God. He clung to him, and he was compensated by God. God blessed him. And you notice this right here. He said in verse number 27, he said unto him, "What's thy name?" He said, "Jacob." Last time in your Bible somebody asked him his name, he told a lie. He said Esau. Deceived his daddy. But now he was in the presence of God and he just got honest. "My name's Jacob. I'm the old schemer. I'm the deceiver. But I want to be blessed." So he got honest. Sometimes we just need to get honest with God. You know what? Amen. If we'll get honest, we can be blessed, I believe. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He was ready to go meet Esau now. Great prayer that he prayed. Good example for you and I. Be humble, be thankful, and be trustful to our God. He loves us and He cares for us. He wants to be our help in time of trouble, in time of need. We got a God that can do all things. With God, nothing's impossible. What a Savior. What a God. Thank you for being here tonight. Does anybody have any word before we do?